your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report and continuing on with the trend we started in the first segment, looking back through 2020 and recapping some of the better winners in the resource sector and some of the strategies heading into next year. I am chatting in this segment with Brian London. He is the editor of the Gold Newsletter, also runs the New Orleans Investment Conference. Brian, kick us off with some of the winners, some of your good investments this year, 2020, that provided you with some good profits and maybe even ones that you think still could go. But first and foremost, I want to hear which stocks were your favorite in terms of returns this current year.
Well, thanks, Corey. Great to be with you. You know, looking back at this year, I think whereas the whole rising tide lifted all boats after we got past that first post-COVID, immediately post-COVID turmoil, I think some of the bigger winners, at least in our portfolio, were the silver stocks and those companies, primarily gold, that had large resources, identified resources. And, we saw both of those rise considerably. In the silver sector, Aftermath was one of our big winners. We recommended it at 18 cents. Toward the end of 2019, actually, we recommended it at 18 cents. And most of its run was actually this year. So that's been close to currently it's about a 7-bagger for us in Gold Newsletter. So that's been a big winner. And looking down our list, there's a number of other ones. BlackRock Gold was another silver play, actually, even though it's called BlackRock Gold. It was another 3 or 4 bagger for us as an exploration play in the silver space. And of course, there's Great Bear. Much of its gains were this year, but I guess last year as well. But right now in Gold Newsletter, that's about a 25-bagger for us. And in our alert service, it got up to as much as a 55-1 winner for us. So those are some of the bigger ones. Impact Silver is, a leveraged, just looking at my list now in our portfolio, that was a leveraged silver play that was a slam dunk way to lever the rise in silver. And it did so. It's went up about 4 times this year for us from the lows. And I think that's really one of the big themes of this year is the silver plays. And as you know, those have come back from their peaks in, say, August or thereabouts. And I think they're going to be a big theme early on in the new year. I think they're going to come back. You know, they rose very quickly for a reason. And that's because the fundamental and really technical, but the fundamental story for gold was so powerful that we had entered into a big bull market. And if you want to leverage the move in gold, you really want to be in silver. And then if you want to leverage the move in silver, you want to be in the silver stocks and even more leverage toward the junior end of the spectrum. So it's leverage on top of leverage on top of leverage on top of a secular move that looks like it's going to last for years. We're playing that. I think it's going to work again. I think early on in the new year is typically a time when we have a rally in the precious metals, or at least a period of seasonal strength in gold and silver. And from the December lows to the January to even June highs, somewhere in that move, you see those companies, again, that have large established resources. I'm thinking companies like Gold Mining Inc., First Mining, those kinds of companies that have large resources, they also do well. And in this case, I think the major producers, although we don't really cover those much in Gold Newsletter, I think those are going to really be big movers in the new year too, because they're extremely undervalued relative to the cash flow that they're spinning out right now.
Okay, so you're seeing a lot of opportunity in the resource sector. Let's take it kind of one by one here. First being silver plays, because, well, that follows up perfectly with the first segment, and Dave Erfle also saying that he likes the silver stocks. but he was saying he likes some of the ones with more resources in the ground, ones that can provide that immediate torque. Where are you focusing? Are you focusing on the ones that have been around for a while that can, I guess, say that they have some resources in the ground, maybe something like that Impact Silver? Or are you still looking at some of these explorers that most of them, almost all of them, are cashed up?
Yeah, I guess we're focusing more on the exploration end. Companies that may have resources but look to expand those. You know, a lot of the new silver plays coming in are and have been acquiring projects that have either small compliant resources or small to fairly significant non-compliant historical resources, where you have a good idea that with a bit of work, they're going to bring in considerable compliant resources to the table. You know, these companies have really snapped up a lot of those projects. That was the key with Aftermath. They had a couple of projects that gave them somewhere over 50 million ounces of historic resources, at least. And then they got the Baron Gala project that brought them into a whole nother level that I still don't think the market is fully appreciating and giving them full credit for. So that's kind of the story. Earlier stage exploration companies that have a good line on some resources, but look to increase them significantly. Those are that's kind of the area where we focus on right now.
Okay. Now, you also brought up these optionality plays or mineral banks, as some call these stocks that really just build up ounces in the ground. They don't necessarily need to be economic, but they go out and acquire a lot of different projects and really market the fact that they have X million ounces of gold resources in their portfolio. This is usually just a play on the underlying precious metals price, but why are you getting drawn into some of these over some of the other companies that maybe drive a little bit more news flow?
Well, I guess because we kind of started that sector, you know, way back when in the early 90s, Jim Blanchard, you know, who founded Gold Newsletter and everything we have today, was a big believer in these optionality plays. He had gotten a lot of experience and made a lot of money in the late 60s and early 70s by investing in these South African gold stocks, which as the world gold price rose, saw their balance sheets expand dramatically as new reserves just all of a sudden fell into the economic realm. And that's kind of the way that the South African mining industry worked. They knew exactly how much gold they had, but they had cutoffs at various gold prices. And until the price of the metal reached those prices, those reserves were valued at zero. But as soon as they went into the economic realm, they were suddenly valued at huge values that gave the precipitated a dramatic increase in the share price. And he experienced seeing things like companies like Durban, Rutherford Deep at the time go up 40 times over a very short period of time as the gold price rose. So he actually went out and started creating these resource banks in silver initially because there weren't any real silver pure plays out there. So he started Silver Standard, which is now SSR Mining, and God knows how many times over that went up for Gold Newsletter subscribers, 50 to 100 times thereabouts, especially if you include some of the spinoffs. At the same time, Ross Beaty started Pan American Silver with precisely the same idea. So it is something that's kind of ingrained in our legacy here at Gold Newsletter, that these kinds of plays very quickly, without doing a bit of work, all of a sudden their established resources are valued much more highly, and you see a concomitant rise in the share prices. So it's not even a process where over 2-3 years they drill off a resource. It's an immediate market revaluation, re-rating of value that's sitting there in the ground.
All right, let's go. One other aspect is explorers. So we have advanced explorers, and we also have some of the smaller market cap, not nearly as advanced explorers. Some of the advanced ones come to mind as something like Great Bear that has already increased its market cap so much, but it has also pulled back. Great Bear, you could argue, maybe puts a little downside protection because it is a bit more drilled out, a lot of drilling done at that project now. Or some of the smaller companies that, quite frankly, maybe only have one or two phases of a drill program under their belt and are still working to understand potentially how big a resource could be. How are you balancing out investments in these two different stage explorers?
Well, we still like Great Bear because it does have a bit of downside protection. I think it's going to eventually be taken out somewhere over a double of where it is right now. It's just a matter of time, and a lot of drilling has been done, but a lot more to come on that. So I think that's still got lots of upside to it, but it's more of an institutional play right now. If you want to be playing in the really high potential junior end, then you can look at these explorers. You know, we just talked about the silver explorers. That whole sector has come back from its, say, August highs and those really red hot levels of enthusiasm. But we saw silver plays at that point in the market coming out with, you know, good projects with some resources, et cetera. But they were coming onto the market at $30 million market caps and getting over 50 pretty quickly. Now we're seeing some of these silver plays come out there that are in the, you know, $10 million market cap range. And I think some of those are where we really need to look right now as potential big movers in the new year as this enthusiasm for the metals comes back and as investors start looking for the stocks that have been kind of left behind during this recent consolidation.
Any other stocks that you want to wrap us up with here, Brian, that you're either watching, that you've recently purchased, that you think could have some near-term news flow and catalysts?
I like, you know, we were talking about silver, but I like Montage Gold Corp. right now. They're coming out with a new resource estimate probably in January that could be a quite considerable increase from where they are now. And they already have about 1 million ounces in the Ivory Coast. So I think that's a big play. Great management team, great backing. I like Fabled Silver Gold right now. It's one of those kind of new silver stories, very small resource right now, but some potential to rapidly increase that. And it has a very low market cap right now relative to where these silver stocks are and have been. So yeah, I like those two right now.
Okay. Hey, Brian, great having you on the show. I really appreciate all the time you spend with us. And I always enjoy your conference. This year, I had to move online. Hopefully, we can I'll get back to New Orleans soon enough. But in the meantime, I continue to read over your newsletter. And again, I appreciate you joining us on Daily Editorials and on our weekend show. Hope you have a great rest of your holiday season here, Brian. And I look forward to chatting with you in the new year.
You too. Best of the holidays and a great new year to you. You and yours, Corey.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.